Good morning. Well, the last time I taught, I mentioned that Larry and I would travel to our grandson's high school graduation in Massachusetts. Between the 3rd of June and the 17th of June, much has happened, and Larry has asked me to share a miraculous testimony with you this morning. The miracle happened on Friday, June 12th, kind of nestled in the middle between the 3rd and the 17th. I'm going to cover in detail how I felt physically, mentally, and also just some of the challenges afterward, which will lead us to acknowledge all God did to bring this miracle to pass. My sharing today is to His praise and to His glory. You're going to see how much God had to figure out compared to how very little contribution on my part. You will see that God's ability to deliver is infinitely greater than my ability to believe or not to believe. Whatever part I played was, as Romans 12 says, logical service. Whatever part we play in something by trusting, by believing God's word, it's simply our logical conclusion. It's our logical service. I will read or quote passages of Scripture, but just enjoy listening to them, because some of them there will be from other translations. So just drink it all in. Well, the first passage I'm going to read is actually the passage that I opened my last teaching with, Psalm 103, 2 through 4. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. And remember, that means who surrounds and circles you with loyalty, faithfulness, and deep compassion. And then Psalm 107:2 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And believe me, Larry and I have been saying so since Friday, June 12th. Well, physically, we traveled to Massachusetts on June 3rd. We arrived there, did a lot of things that day, went to bed that night. I woke up pre-dawn, the morning of the 4th. Just didn't feel very good. It was hard to describe. I just knew that I wasn't myself. I wasn't feeling well. But I did go back to bed, and my alarm woke me up, and I was going to go down and get our youngest grandson's breakfast ready so that he could catch the bus at 6:45. And I got downstairs, cut open a package of bacon, and the raw bacon just made me so nauseous all over. I could hardly stand up and make it back up the stairs, but I did. And I asked Larry if he could handle making Michael's breakfast because I didn't think I could make it through it. Well, I just crashed on the bed. I went to sleep, and I pretty much stayed there all day. I slept all day, maybe just awaking now and again. But that day, I had fevers, nausea, total exhaustion, dehydration, chills. I would get the shakes where I couldn't even hold my head still. As time went on, some of the other symptoms, all these symptoms would come and go. I mean, sometimes it seemed like I was just doing fine, and then all of a sudden another series of symptoms would hit. I had itching of my palms, itching of the soles of my feet, where I would just sit there and claw. I had rust-colored urine. It was just so dark. I had edema. That's the pooling of blood underneath the skin. And finally, I just became itching all over. I remember even as we flew home, I told Larry at one point, I'm just going to go to the ladies' room and I'm going to strip down and just have an itching fit. I just itched all over. And I had little sores begin to appear all over my body. And so these things kind of came and went. I mean, you know, one day I would just rally, and the next minute I would be sick again, and I would go lay down, I would get up, and it was just kind of back and forth. But I did call my doctor while I was there, and as the best I knew to do, of course, we prayed, and I set an appointment to go see my doctor as soon as I returned back home. I was able to enjoy our grandson's graduation on Friday night, the 5th. We had a graduation and then had a dinner at their home that night. It was wonderful. I really enjoyed it. I rallied. I felt great. And then also on Sunday the 7th, there was a graduation party at our son-in-law's home for our grandson. And it was just a wonderful time as well. I rested right until the party started, and I just had a great time, and it was a wonderful thing. The following day was Monday. I was able to do some of the things for the boys, like, you know, help them with their clothing, help them with their rooms, and just rallied, and that was really great. And then Tuesday, we flew home. Well, Wednesday morning, I went to see my doctor. And of course, when I told her all about this, I did mention to her that I had removed a tick off the back of my leg either late April or early May when I was outside working in some flower beds. And so, of course, giving her all these symptoms that I just told you about, she said, well, we do have to test you for Lyme disease. So on the 10th, I was tested for the Lyme disease, as well as drawing blood for my liver, because she was very concerned about that with some of my symptoms that I had. So the 11th, I found out I didn't have Lyme disease, but she still felt it must be some kind of tick disease, and she thought she knew which one it would be. So she called me on the 11th and said, I need you to go right now and get another blood test for the second tick disease that I'm thinking of. But I need you to leave there and go right to the pharmacy and start the antibiotic that I'm going to recommend for you. She said it's going to be very strong, but we can't wait another minute. We have to get you on this antibiotic. And come to find out, as I was reading about it, it was actually an antibiotic that they give to malaria patients. And some of the side effects of the antibiotic were the very same as the symptoms I'd been having. So this was very confusing and challenging in the days ahead. The doctor told me also then the morning of the 12th, she had worked in an emergency ultrasound for me at one of our local hospitals. And as Larry and I drove to the hospital that morning, I said, you know, Larry, I don't know how to describe this, but I just feel mentally, I feel like this is all just happening outside of me somewhere. It's playing out somewhere else, and I'm watching it, and I just feel like la 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 la, and I really can't seem to take this thing seriously. I'm not able to grab hold of things. And he said, well, then I'll believe for you. Give me your power of attorney to believe for you, believe on your behalf. If you don't feel that your mental capabilities are working correctly, and then you just get better. And I remember thinking back at our son-in-law's home when I was laying in bed. I remember thinking mentally, I knew that I was going to be fine. I didn't have any doubt as to the outcome. But the thing that had me a little troubled and puzzled that I just didn't know was what was going to happen between me laying in bed that day and that point when everything was fine. I just didn't know. I there was a lot of thought. A lot of thoughts went through my mind. But it was, I was just mentally confused and not confused on the word, but just not really too concerned about anything. Just kind of la, 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 la. I don't know how else to say it. So we went for the ultrasound and we came home that day. This was Friday the 12th. We came home that day and I was so exhausted coming back from the ultrasound that I just went to our bedroom and I flopped down in the bed, clothes and all. I covered myself up and went to sleep. I couldn't do another thing. And then maybe 20, 30 minutes, my cell phone rang and I answered it. I saw it was my neighbor next door. And she said, Connie, she said, there are four people on my porch and they're in the area to pray for the sick. She said, do you want me to send them over? Well, I remember thinking so clearly, what are the odds of this? I mean, we've lived here since 2011 and nothing like this. Nobody's been in the neighborhood to pray for the sick. And here I am, so sick. So I said, Sharon, I don't think that I can get up. But call Larry on his cell phone. And he'll tell me what I need to do. So she did call him and I fell back to sleep. And I didn't really know too much happened. He never came and got me. But maybe 2 hours later, he comes back in the door and my cell phone is ringing again. This time it's my doctor. Well, I want to digress back to this two-hour time frame. Larry shared with me some of the things that happened. And he had decided that he would bring these people over to the chapel, which is just a couple, you know, 2/10 of a mile from our home, and that they would sit over here and they would pray for me here. So they came over to the chapel and they got a little tour and they talked and just shared with him. Larry got to share with them what our convictions are, what we teach, what our ministry is all about, and they were very excited about the message of love. So they did pray for him. They laid hands on him and just encouraged him to stay faithful and to be refreshed. They ministered refreshing to his soul, and they even had words of prophecy that I won't share. They're very meaningful to us. They're very personal. But they did come to the place where they said, you know, we're ready to pray for Connie. And if you have a cloth somewhere here in the chapel, we could use that as a point of reference and we could all put our hands on the cloth and we could pray for Connie. So Larry went downstairs and found a cloth placemat that you would put on a table for a place setting. And he says, well, it's cloth. So they all put their hands on that placemat and ministered healing to me. So then we're back to where we were when I digressed. He was coming in the door with this prayer cloth, with this placemat that they had prayed over, and he brought it downstairs to me, and the phone was ringing, and it was my doctor. Of course, it was Friday, and her phone call was twofold. She, number one, wanted to tell me that she wanted me to have her cell phone number for the weekend in case anything came up, but also she wanted to give me the news that she had just gotten a call from the man, from the doctor who read my ultrasound, and that my liver, my spleen, and my kidneys were perfect. Well, so I'm looking at the phone in my left hand, and I'm looking at the prayer cloth in my right hand, and it occurred to me, I'm healed. I'm healed in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. This is a miracle. All of this happened. So you know what I did? I got up. We went upstairs, We were so joyful. We were so thankful. We were just beside ourselves with great joy. And we decided that what we should do is call our neighbor and thank her for sending those people over. So I got her on the phone and I said, "Sharon, thank you so, so much for sending those people over." And she said, "Well, Connie, it was the funniest thing. It was so strange." She said, "I was in our living room with our two granddaughters, and when I was looking out the window, I noticed this car kept driving back and forth between your house and my house. They were going so slow, and finally they pulled in our drive, and I sent the girls to play on the computer, and I answered the door. And they got up to the door, and they said to me, 'We're here to pray for Connie.'" And I said, "What?" I said, "They said my name?" She said, "Yes. They said, 'We are here to pray for Connie.'" And I was so glad I had the phone on speaker because Larry and I both heard it. And she even repeated it. "They are here to pray for Connie." So she said, I said to them, "Well, Connie lives next door. And I do know that she's very sick, but I don't want you going over there without me calling her first. I definitely want to give her a call first." So that's where my testimony began, with her calling me. And so she said, "But another thing happened. While they were on my porch, they said, 'Well, we're at your house. Is there anybody here who needs prayer?'" She said, "Well, I was at the emergency room last night with my adult son, who lives just around the corner, and he had hurt himself at work and got a hernia, which was going to be operated on. So they said, 'Well, let's pray.'" So they did. And she had gotten a phone call just before Larry and I called her. She got a call from her son and said, "Mom, I just heard from my doctor. I do not need surgery and I'm fine. Good to go back to work. Everything is great." So we had two miracles on that day when those four people came to Crumbstown to pray for me. It was just absolutely wonderful. So to have those miracles here in our community. Well, we did make some calls, of course, to our family, and of course we accounted for all this to Jerry, who lives with us, and called some of our neighbors and a lot of people. So the challenges after that are, after a miracle, you know, a miracle, according to the even a dictionary, it's an event that appears unexplainable by the laws of nature. And so it is held to be supernatural. Well, what hook do you hang something supernatural on? You don't have any proof. It doesn't fit in a time frame. It doesn't fit on anything happening. It's kind of in one way. I mean, it was very real that I was healed, but then in another way, it was very vague. So, you know, our greatest documentation for healing is the scriptures. However, my doctor went on to request me to get another set of blood tests because, of course, she could not be, she had to do her due diligence to prove this, that I was healthy again. But so she called on Monday the 16th to tell me that the second test for the tick came back negative too. So we still don't know what tick-borne illness it was, but she does feel that it was that. But, you know, regardless, God heals all manner of sickness, all manner of disease. Do I need to know what it was? No, I just enjoy my healing. I enjoy my miracle. So she asked me to go on the morning of the 16th and get another blood test. So this blood test is 6 days after my first blood test, which had my liver elevations so high. I think one of my elevations, the highest in the normal zone, was like 52, and mine was like 254. So they were extremely elevated. I had the edema, I had the itching of the soles of my feet, I had the rust-colored urine. It was, you know, my doctor was extremely concerned. But on the 16th, my blood test came back, and the morning of the 17th, she called, my doctor called to say, "Well, Connie, this is Dr. Anderson, and I'm going to tell you first off, those people who came and prayed for you," which, of course, I told her about, "those people who came and prayed for you, they did a good job because your test results came back wonderful. They are just perfect. They're all in the normal zones." And she said, "Even taking the antibiotic the full time, your enzymes for your liver should not have decreased and been back to a normal zone for 2, 4, maybe even 6 months. And there, 6 days later, my results, I printed them off in color. I went on my web, I went on the internet to my MD website or whatever it is that they log you into. And I got both of those tests and I printed them off and I laid them side by side because that is a wonderful documentation as well. I was very, very blessed about that. So that kind of is the account of the miracle happening. Later, Larry had the number of the man who, one of the gentlemen of the four people who came, and we called him to tell him I was healed because we thought, well, you know, not only do we need to call a neighbor, we really need to call this man and tell him about this wonderful miracle. So he answered the phone. Larry told him, of course, he was very, praise the Lord, thank God, you know, just very joyous with us. And so Larry said, "You know, I just can't remember the other people's names." He said, "Well, honestly, to tell you, I can't remember their names either." He said, "Because I just met them that morning at breakfast, Friday morning, volunteers from the churches in the Valparaiso, La Porte area, met at a church for breakfast and prayer. And then a organizer put us in teams of four, and we didn't know each other." He said it was a man, a wife, and their daughter, and then me. "But I am getting ready to go meet them for supper at another church, and I'll get their names and get back with you." So here were four people that didn't know each other. Well, the family did, of course, but they were teamed together for the day to go and pray for churches and the sick people in the churches. They came to Crumbstown to pray for Connie. And, there might have been a time in my life when I might not have been humble to receive the prayer of four people who showed up on somebody's porch to pray for the sick. And I was very thankful that day. I knew that those people needed to come and pray for me. And of course, Larry brought them in, and they prayed for me, and a wonderful miracle occurred. The Weymouth New Testament says of Philippians 4:16, the context, of course, is "be anxious for nothing," and it goes on talking about letting our requests be made known unto God. And it says, and then the peace of God, which transcends all our powers of thought, will be a garrison to guard your hearts and minds in union with Christ Jesus. And you know, all our powers of thought, that has to include our understanding, which is how it's translated in the King James. But God's peace transcends all our powers of thought. And it is a garrison to guard our hearts and minds. The New Living Translation of Ephesians 3:20, I thought this was beautiful. It says, "Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think." Well, I can tell you that day something happened to me that I didn't ask for and I didn't think about. All I knew is at the end, I was going to be okay, but I didn't know what was going to happen in between. And so I thought that was really great. I do want to close with this beautiful verse from the Living Bible that is actually on our website under the tab about you. And it says, encapsulated in this psalm, Psalm 34, verses 3 through 10, is the heart of it all. Let all who are discouraged take heart. Let us praise the Lord together and exalt his name. For I cried to him and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. Others, too, were radiant at what he did for them. Theirs was no downcast look of rejection. This poor man cried to the Lord, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of his troubles. For the angel of the Lord guards and rescues all who reverence him. Oh, put God to the test and see how kind he is. See for yourself the way his mercy showered down on all who trust in him. If you belong to the Lord, reverence him. For everyone who does this has everything he needs. Even strong lions sometimes go hungry. But those of us who reverence the Lord will never lack any good thing. And that is as hard as believing is. That is believing. That is trust. That is faith. So I would like to just check with Larry before we close to make sure I didn't unintentionally leave anything out that he feels would be profitable to you. So, Larry, do you have anything?
Yes, I did want to share a little bit with you, because I often speak of the needs of humankind, that it exceeds the scope of nature, surpasses scientific discovery and development, and reaches beyond the helping hands of human kindness. We search through nature for the answers, and sometimes we can get some help, but it exceeds the scope of nature. It surpasses scientific discovery and development. I appreciate what our scientists, and particularly in the medical field, are trying to accomplish, but our needs exceed those and surpass those, and they reach beyond the helping hands of human kindness. We had all three of those really involved in the situation, but God Almighty, our wonderful Heavenly Father, can do exceeding abundantly above all that even they can ask or think. I wanted to share with you, because the power of attorney, or Connie extending me her authority for her healing and her life when we were on our way over to do the ultrasound, I wanted to explain that a little bit, because she was foggy. And I know that God, in cases of children, and in cases of those who are mentally incapacitated, that someone else of authority can believe for them. And so in this particular case, I felt that I had the responsibility to take on that authority, one, as a minister, but more importantly, as her husband, that she would do that. And I had her specifically state it because I wanted the adversary to know who's believing for this and who's taking the responsibility for this. And we wanted to speak it out loud, so we just prayed, and she transferred her authority to me. And that's why when those people came over to her house, I didn't bother to say, well, let's go downstairs, she's in bed, let's go pray for her down there. They had earlier stopped by our chapel. They were involved with this program that's called Revive Indiana, where for 52 days, all of the different denominations and everything else, they set aside their particular doctrines and they join together, and these groups go out and pray for the church, and then they find out if there's any church members that are sick that perhaps need prayer, and then they go to pray for them. Actually, we live in Crumstown, which is a sort of defunct town. It's no longer a town particularly, but our post office is in North Liberty, which is 10 miles away from us. These people drove for over an hour to an hour and a half to come from where they were. Both Connie and I do not know anybody in Valparaiso or in La Porte, which is where the church they went for breakfast and then later on went out. And at that meeting, they had a list of churches, and they said, go to the church in Crumstown and pray there and pray for Connie. And so right here in South Bend, which is less than 5 miles up the road, if you knocked on 25 doors, probably 23 of them wouldn't even know where Crumstown is. And yet, that's where God directed this group of people. And there's no way that they could have known Connie's name. But in any case, they came. And everything happened so rapidly. We had just gotten back from the ultrasound, like Connie was saying. She went down right to bed, and within a half an hour, she received that call, and our neighbor called me, and I'm thinking, yeah, there's people in the neighborhood to pray. This is kind of unusual. This is God at work. I volunteered to have them come over, and they came over, and then we went over to the chapel because I knew I had the power of attorney, and that's all I needed to believe for her, and we allowed those things to take place. So we were believing for that. It is the logical conclusion, and I saw how beautifully God does surround us and encircle us with his love, his loyalty. What's that? That term for encircling?
Surrounding us, encircling us with covenant loyalty.
Covenant loyalty. Yeah, I was thinking of that. It was so beautiful. But this should be the norm in Christianity, not the oddball thing that happens in Christianity. This is the norm for us. And either I have the telephone number of an angel, or I have the telephone number of a beloved one who's a little lower than himself, a group of beloved ones that came to minister to our need because our Heavenly Father saw the need and directed them. And I believe that is exactly what happened. And this should be the norm for us. So I'm very excited. They told us in their prophecies and things that what we're doing is a good work, and what we're teaching is an extremely good work to share on God's great love, and that we should see many signs, miracles, and wonders emanating from here. But I'm just very excited to know that, and just the simplicity of what it took. We didn't have to stress. We didn't have to strain. We didn't have to worry. We didn't have to do any of those things. All Connie needed to do was endure, and God met our need exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. So very proud and blessed to share this with you and to encourage you in the things of God and the things that we have been studying. So love you and God bless you, and look forward to our next week. Amen.
Amen.